welcome. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower, and this is a show on metaphysics and spirituality. And tonight, we're going to continue from last week when we were dealing with what is evil. That's right. And hopefully, you did hear last week's show. Now, if you did, I'm going to go over some of the basics quickly to try and help those who may have not heard, and some of you who did but would like a little refresher, why not? I'm going to give you my opinion now on what is evil. Certainly, you can call in if you would like and give me your opinions, because I'd love to hear it. Some people may feel that evil does not exist. However, I certainly think it does. If you would like to call in, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., and if you are in Canada, try 888-815-9756. Okay, so, last week, I described evil as the following. This is going to be kind of a condensed version now. Evil is a state of consciousness that exists peculiarly in the human. And it can be somewhat effective in being transferred from a human to like a lower life form like an animal, but it only starts in human beings, because human beings have this quirky nature. They can sense their creator, and in the sensing of their creator, they can deny the existence of a creator. If you can't sense any creator, you're not going to ever deny the existence of one, because you wouldn't know that there could be one out there. So it's like, I sense there is a creator or God, and I reject that idea, and then in the rejection, I start down the road towards the darker side of existence. And if I seek to destroy the growth of the creator that I reject, either because I reject it because I don't think it's a good creator or because I don't think it really exists, which is a little bit contradictory, right? Then I want to destroy the growth of it, and the growth of our Creator, as I define it, is the growth of life. Because life is how the Creator grows. It grows for all of us, right? So, ultimately, people who are evil are seeking to destroy the growth of life, and life itself in many cases. This is an interesting anomaly for them, because they're part of life. And if you're seeking to destroy life, you're going to end up being self-destructive, which evil eventually is. But because of laws of physics and metaphysics, the karma for those who choose a very dark and evil, and I'm going to define the difference between those in another minute, path, will slow down their karma by using force and stealing energy from the rest of us. In that process, they can hang around for a long time without noticing the effects of their terrible deeds. You might think that's a little unfair, but during the time when they're not noticing the effects, exponentially, the effects that are going to come back to them as forces are growing. It doesn't stay static. And so, in the long run, evil people do the most stupid thing you can imagine. They destroy their consciousness even further than it began. They destroy their life, and eventually, they suffer immensely, beyond all comprehension, for the things that they do that are so terrible. Now, I've used the words dark, and I've used the words evil. When I talk about darkness, I'm talking about people who are seeking to avoid the thought of God, which we call spiritual, which I call spiritual thought. So people that are doing this are trying to get away from the spiritual thoughts of others and even of themselves. And that creates a lack of light, which is the way spiritual thought is represented, because it opens up and shows us. It shows us what's really going on, and it allows our consciousnesses to expand and for us to connect together our knowledge about things. It's a wonderful thing. But if you're trying to not experience the thought of the Creator, run away from it, avoid it, destroy it, do whatever you can, then you're going to be ending up in darkness. And you're going to be separating yourself, oneself, from others. And separating oneself in thought from other thought that is a unifier or inclusiveness in its nature, inclusive in its nature. So, very interestingly, people who are dark can become evil, but just because someone is dark, they aren't necessarily evil because they haven't reached the point necessarily of wanting to destroy the growth of life or life itself. Whereas evil people have been dark, and then they decide, yep, that's what I want to do. I want to destroy the growth of life. I'm going to fix them all. And they do so by trying to steal power and energy from others. Well, it's an interesting method. It can keep you going for quite a long time. But then again, there's that severe karmic penalty of great suffering that comes later rather than sooner. Okay. Now, I hope that that has helped. That was a very fast thumbnail, and I said it a little differently than I did last week so that people will get another side on it. Yeah. Figure those who were listening from last week, their reward is that they get to hear another version, a different side of how I explained it all last week. All right. So, what else did we not cover last week, which I think is important for us to have a good understanding of for this week? And one of the areas that I was just getting into was, how is evil growing in the world? What is it doing? And what can we do about it to overcome it? And I really couldn't get into that last week. It was just not enough time. Yes, I can talk up a storm. I know that. But you can also call in if you want, and we can have a conversation about it as well. All right, so what or how is evil growing in the world? And what is it doing today, as an example, that it wasn't doing even a couple hundred years ago? Many people think, if they believe that evil exists at all, that it is the same as it was in the Bible, Old Testament or New, or whatever Bible you read, the Quran or whatever. Not necessarily, unfortunately. Evil has developed itself. It has grown in our world. As we have grown. Now, how have we grown? We've grown more mental in our abilities. Now, you might say, but the history books don't tell us that. Psychologists don't know that. Well, a few think that maybe that's true, but most don't. That's true. But I'm a metaphysician, and kind of used to be sort of a psychologist too, but that's another life. The point is, for today, I'm a metaphysician, and I can tell you that people are growing and changing, and we are not the same as we were a couple thousand years ago. Certainly more than 5,000 years ago. I mean, we really changed, and we are much more able to think logically and concisely in structured thought. What is structured thought? That's concepts and examples of those concepts. We can do that so much better than people could do even a couple hundred years ago, and especially a couple thousand years ago. The human race is changing, but unfortunately, there were no psychologists around 1,000 years ago to give people tests to figure this thing out. So all we have is this history, and history doesn't really lend itself to discovering these kinds of inner workings of the minds of human beings. Actually, our body and its senses has grown significantly as the human race has continued to develop. And that body is called the mental or monastic body. And so we're much greater in our ability to think mentally. How did we used to think? More like using our creative imagination, and a little bit of mental comparison of concepts to their examples, see if we could find a little truth here or there, but not big stuff. We didn't kind of look into the depths of trying to understand the real truth of things, because our minds weren't that well developed, and so the thing that comes out of that in civilization called science was stunted. We didn't have much science 1,000 years ago, and we had almost no science, if you go back several thousand years ago, in human history, any place that we normally would look for it in the world. So that's an interesting point. Now, were there some thinkers who could think really, really good, and they did some structured thing? Yeah, a few of them. They're the famous people in history. You know, Aristotle was a great scientific thinker. Plato a little bit less, but somewhat, yes. So when we look at these great thinkers, they were great in doing it, but they were the very rare exception, and most of us were kind of not doing it. And we were there. Yeah, most of us who are listening, and me myself, we were there in a prior incarnation. Yeah, so we have developed. Okay, so what does all this mean? How has evil changed if the human race has changed? Well, evil has changed because it's become more mental. The kinds of things that evil does to destroy the growth of life and or life itself, it does more mentally today. Now, what does it do? Is there a name for it? There is. And you're familiar with it, called propaganda. With one name for it, anyway. It's the way of constructing concepts that are erroneous to fool people into believing a certain way, so that a group of people or an individual can gain some power and control over them. That's propaganda. And that's the kind of evil that is developing in our world at the present time. You can say, well, I thought propaganda is a good thing if you're using it to control bad people or something like that. And actually, it's not. Propaganda destroys the growth of life by destroying the ability for others to think clearly. Regardless of its motive, propaganda is bad and should not be used. Now, some of you might disagree with that. Give me a call. We can talk about it. But I can tell you that in metaphysical terms, propaganda convolutes the minds of others and gets them to become confused. And it's done for the purpose of control. The better alternative is education and attempting to get people to be free-thinking and able to find out for themselves what truth is. Because if you're really working on the side of truth, you see, you don't need propaganda. What you need is what I just said, to educate and enlighten other people and get them to think more for themselves, and they'll find the truth. That's our problem. Our problem is that even being on the side of good, when I say our problem, I'm talking about those who are in this particular country I'm speaking from, which is the United States, or people living in free countries, their situation is that sometimes the governments that they support and live by are themselves using propaganda, which is weird because they are fighting propaganda from other sources. It's not a good thing. Generally speaking, what we want to do is exactly what I'm trying to do in this broadcast, to develop an education and get people to think so they can find truth on their own, because if it is truth that you're really seeking and you help people to do that, that's how you win the whole ball game against evil that is working on the side of using propaganda. You can't use the same tool against evil, because actually it's better at it than the side of good is. When good people try to use propaganda, they'll be beaten by evil, because evil's actually better at using this nasty thing. Now, Earth is unusual, because most places that evil is found, evil exists as it used to exist on Earth. It's mostly about desires and astral or emotional, some people would call it, types of evil, where people want to feel a certain way. They want to have control over others' feelings and get control over how other people might behave, but they don't really care that much about how other people think, because they're not dealing with mental evil. They're not trying to propagandize what it is that they are trying to eventually destroy in others as the growth of their life. But unfortunately, Earth is doing this very thing. It's one of the rare planets presently doing it. And you might say, well, why are we here doing this? Or why can't I go to a planet where they don't have propaganda, because it's a real headache and it sounds nasty and I don't want to do that? Yeah, but the problem is that we all came here because this is one of the experiments Earth is going through right now. That experiment is to overcome more advanced types of evil, including monastic or mental evil, which includes the concept of propaganda, so that it won't occur in the future, thousands, even hundreds of thousands of years from now, in other planets and even different galaxies, where it will be much more commonplace than it is today. It is a rare thing today, but a million years from now, it could be the common thing of everywhere. And if we don't succeed here, and other planets like Earth don't succeed, we won't be prepared for how to deal with evil. We're doing a lab experiment here. It only involves the whole planet, and if we lose the planet. But, hey, that's the game, and we all chose to be in it. That's absolutely true. I know it sounds a little hard to understand and believe, because many people would refute this and say, well, I would never come here. You did. You came here when you were in a state of mind of your soul. And that soul sought to work in a world as difficult as this one to fight, in particular, this kind of evil. That is all around us, by the way. Believe me, it was the bane of the entire last century. The hallmark of the 20th century was mental evil. Now, you could say, well, wasn't there evil back during the Dark Ages in Western civilization? Yeah, there was, but most of that wasn't trying to get propaganda people. It was people going in and banging people's heads and chopping off their heads and forcing them to do stuff physically and emotionally dealing with them, emotionally affecting them. Even battles were won through emotional issues, mostly trying to provoke people through fear and overcome them through flight in battle and do stuff like that. It wasn't through propaganda. As a matter of fact, I don't think there was a single ism, like, you know, totalitarianism or any other kind of ism that was being promoted as a way to live, because nobody even brought it up. That's it. I'm the king. I will chop your head off if you don't do what I want, and that's the end of it. Now, see, that is different than trying to convince somebody that they have to listen to you because you're a communist and they have to be a communist, or you're a person that follows Marxism or this ism or that thing. See, that's a totally different way to operate. Completely different. Well, you know what? I got to go to break right now. So, I'll tell you what. We'll continue this discussion in about 2.5 minutes or so. And when we do, I'll tell you much more about what is evil.
Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
And we are back. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about what is evil. And I have a caller online, and I'm not sure who this is, but hi there. Can you hear me?
This is Herb Lubitz calling from Wilmington, Niles.
Oh, hi, Herb. Got your email.
Got a question for you.
Yeah, thanks for the email, by the way.
Yes, we can discuss that at another time. But
all right, you got another question. Go ahead.
I have another question dealing with what you just said about propaganda and education. How does one distinguish between the two? How do you know what you're being educated about is not propaganda?
Well, let me give you the answer to that as far as I'm concerned, but we can discuss it as well. With propaganda, the message that is being given is meant to convolute or confuse the listener or experiencer of whatever they're, however you're communicating it to them. So the purpose is to limit their thought to a specific realm of minor or small pieces of a concept and to try to prevent them from seeing the big picture while trying to convince them that your way of thinking is the only way or the right way, and that they, in some way it gives you power or control over them. Whereas if we take the education side, it does exactly the opposite, not surprising. What it does is it tends to get a person to find larger and larger concepts pretty much on their own, giving them some concepts so they can understand those, but also developing the ability on their own to freely think of even bigger ones and to investigate and find the truth of the concept by seeing if there are any examples that contradict it in their own experience or in their experiments that they may do in their thought or in their life. And so that's the idea of education, which is completely contrary to the ideas in propaganda.
Except I think today on many college campuses, one is being propagandized rather than educated.
Well, I would agree with you. As a matter of fact, it's more and more prevalent throughout our society. And unfortunately, here we are in the land of the free and the home of the brave. But unfortunately, we are using methods that are not good for people to become better thinking, better thinkers, and people who are going to find truth in their minds and develop it in their life. This is a problem. I totally agree with you. I think the first job of an educator is to help people to think before anything else. Instead, they want to tell us the facts and convince us of what they think is true.
I know
that, unfortunately, is not necessarily a good way of doing education.
I think even in the sciences, one example, I think, in biology is the stress on Darwinian evolution as being the answer to the origin of the species. And anybody who disagrees with him is considered, a quack or somebody who obviously is uneducated. And yet anybody with, outside the biological field, whether he's a mathematician or a physicist, would say that the Darwinian evolution is impossible from a standpoint of random theory and so forth, a randomness.
Yeah, I refer to, I'm sure you're familiar with the Harvard study that discovered that evolution is five times too slow. There's problems in its time, the time it takes for it to branch and do its splitting off and specialization. There hasn't been enough time in many cases for certain species to be developed.
And there's more and more experimental evidence to bring that up. But you won't find that in your colleges today who supposedly are educating our kids. That's just one example, and of course there are others.
And the interesting thing is that, of course, and I have a modified view on how evolution is effective and works, and that is that evolution is the primary means for greater consciousnesses than human beings.
Right, yeah, you're looking
to create lower forms of life, but it isn't very effective in any of the higher forms, especially human life.
Right, it's from a purely physical standpoint, the Darwinian theory is really a creation myth, if I could put it that way. That's just one example, but I find that in many other areas of study where kids are not being educated to think; they're just being given a pre-digested theory of the latest paradigm, which is not necessarily the correct one.
The other thing that I find very interesting, Herb, is that science has every time it comes up to a brick wall it just reinvents itself, and it very conveniently loses. I'm using science as a like a living thing, but I'm talking about all the people who are the creators in the science the field that might be the field we're talking about. Those people tend to reinvent themselves and their theories, and they throw out the old theory like, oh well, yeah, we were wrong, okay, but they don't really ponder very much. Well, gee, maybe the new theory isn't any more right than the old one was. But then they're adamant, and they're very usually closed-minded about what that theory means at that moment, right, without looking back to yesterday and say, well, yeah, we were wrong yesterday. We had that theory for 20 years. So maybe today's theory isn't right either.
Well, that's what, hopefully science progresses that way. But unfortunately, things have become so ossified, and nobody can dispute, even bringing out the anomalies and the experimental evidence, because they're not part of the group that is propagating a particular worldview at the time.
And, well, that's because all of this is because of egotism, and egotism grows as propaganda is used in a daily kind of system. It feeds the fire of egotism by getting people to not think outside of the box, and by getting them to believe whatever they do think is continuously and consistently right. It's more important to be right than it is to be anything else. Of course, the most important thing is to be open-minded and humble, and then one may find truth.
That's right. It's all involved with ego. And I think the greatest problem today in education is distinguishing between propaganda and real learning.
I agree with you. Well, listen, I'm so glad that you gave us a call tonight, and I'm glad you're actually listening to the show, because I know you're getting to the archives, but
right,
I'm glad you're tuning in.
It's the first time I'm listening to you live, so.
Yeah, it's great. It's great that you're doing that.
Thanks,
well, listen, and we'll talk about your email to me in another time.
Okay.
Give me a call next week. We can discuss that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye bye. All right. So anyway, let's go on now with what is it we can do to reduce this kind of mental evil that is taking over. Now, a lot of people are concerned about terrorism, but terrorism is on one side a more physical and emotional kind of evil, but on the other side, if you really look at what terrorists are usually trying to do these days, I'm not talking about hundreds of years ago, but I'm talking about these days, is that they're trying to promote a mental evil. They want people to think their way. And if you're forcing someone to think a certain way, you are performing a destructive element to the growth of life itself, and you definitely are on the side of evil. And it's very interesting to think that way, because unfortunately, we all could get trapped in this. It's easy for some of us to think, well, the way to defeat these terrorists is to force them to think our way. And that may not be the right answer. I know that sounds a little convoluted. Well, why can't we just get all the evil people? We'll shoot them up with some drug, or we'll use an ECT, a black box thing that shocks their brain, and so they forget everything else, or we'll lobotomize them, and then we'll force them to think our way. Well, you see, then we would be doing the same thing that they're doing. We can't do that. You can't force people to think anything and keep them from being even more evil. This is the problem. In order to deal with evil, we have to stop them in a physical sense by using force, but we can't force them to feel or think anything, because if we did, we'd be evil like them. Then what is the answer? Well, Herb, you knew it, and I think I'm saying it right now. Education. The more we educate those that surround evil, the more evil has a box that it can't get out of. And the interesting thing is, when you put evil in a box where everybody is enlightened and educated around them, they destroy themselves, honestly, because they get power from trying to control others through destruction and steal the energy from others. When they can't do that anymore, they evaporate pretty quick. They can overnight just disappear. Of course, they can sometimes crawl out of their holes and try to revamp themselves if they're not truly vanquished. But nonetheless, force can only be used against physical force in this world, the physical world, against evil. And we cannot, by metaphysical terms, use force against how people feel or think to get them to change. We have to allow that to happen on its own, unfortunately. We can protect ourselves, and we can use force in this world when others are being forceful against us. And we have a right to do that. We have a necessity to do that if it's very destructive evil, because otherwise it'll destroy everything. Evil is very, very nasty about doing things like that. Okay, what else can we do to improve the propaganda situation? Then I'm going to move on from that. Well, propaganda has another peculiar flavor to it, you might say, and that is that it tends to work best when there are large groups of people that are conned into believing the same thing. Now, why is that the case? Well, because people are unsure of using their own minds to think at the present level of development of our human race. Someday this won't be true, but it is right now. We're sort of like, we got the herd instinct. We kind of like want to go along with everybody else, because if everyone else is thinking that, maybe I better think that way. I don't want to be outside of the curve here. I don't want to be too far away from everybody else. And this isn't really egotism. This is fear. It's fear of not being accepted. It's fear of not being liked by others. And so some people follow the thoughts of the masses, you might say, because of that fear. And it's a problem. It's a problem that has grown. In a strange way, egotism somewhat counters it, but it doesn't really get rid of it. What it does is it kind of lives in a kind of side-by-side existence, and sometimes a person will be egotistical to the point where they'll stay outside of the fray, so to speak, and they won't be convinced to go along with the herd instinct and think the way everybody else does. But they may not be thinking correctly either. That doesn't mean that it's helping them. At the same time, when they feel threatened, they may jump in and suddenly become like everybody else in thought. And unfortunately, evil knows that, and it uses fear to keep people in the fold, keep people continuing to think like most others, especially when they're buying into the evil's propaganda. That's a problem. How do we overcome that? By lessening fear. And one of the ways in metaphysics to do this is to get people to understand that there is no such thing as death. There's no such thing as death. Physical bodies and astral bodies can die. The senses can go away. But a person's consciousness never dies. And because you eventually go back to your being your own soul, your consciousness just keeps growing as you move from one dimension of time and space to another that you live in. So there is no such thing as death. And that helps people to stop being as afraid as they are in general, because the fear of death is a primary fear that other fears tend to rest upon. If we can get people over that one thing, evil will have a weapon that it doesn't have great use of any longer. And the ability to get people to think the same through propaganda and fear will be greatly hindered. So there's part of the plan. There it is. I'm giving the answers, I hope. All right, what's the next area that we want to look at then? What we can do in our world to make it a better place and to actually get things moving in a more enlightened and positive direction. Well, in general, in today's world, what we're having at the present moment, we need to start working together on what I will call to be survival methods for the whole world, the planet right now. The planet's in trouble. We are experiencing significant levels of global warming. We've got a lot of other serious problems, and we're about to face calamities that we've never really had to deal with in a collective or worldwide thought process. It's that collective thought process, if it's done correctly, can actually bring us out of the problem, even though it's a very severe problem. We're facing, who knows, maybe imminent death for everybody. But the point is that death for the bodies, again, consciousness would go on to live in another dimension. But the point is that we could destroy the physical world. And we have an opportunity now to actually overcome evil by working together to solve common problems. So So the problems may not be as bad as we think they are, although they certainly aren't good for us, but they have this other side to them that it can lead us into a new direction. Now, I'm going to talk about a lot more about that and what we can do together, including this idea that I presented on other, other stations when I had shows, and that is to have an internet country. We'll talk about that. All of that when we come back from break, which is just going to be in about almost 3 minutes now, because the second break I learned recently is a little bit longer. So about 2 minutes and like 50 seconds or so, I'll be back.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
We are back, and this is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. I may sound a little clearer. We switched me over to a digital line. Sometimes that happens in radio. And so now you may hear me in, like, living color or whatever that is. Of course, not on the radio, I guess. But I should sound a little clearer. And I want to continue on now with this concept of if we have a world that is in crisis, it isn't necessarily a terrible thing when, at the same time, we have problems with evil and propaganda and problems with people not freely thinking. Let me give you some examples, be a little concrete about this. I recently, like a couple days ago, got my monthly magazine of Scientific American. For a lot of people, it's kind of a dry magazine, a little hard to read, but I like it because it's sort of like cutting edge. It tells you what's going on in the last 6 months or a year in each field that they cover an article on. And the thing that I liked about this particular issue was that it had a article on global warming. Now, I've been telling people, hey, global warming is definitely going on. And a lot of people are saying, well, I don't know. You know, maybe they're just conning us. You know, maybe it's propaganda that there's just global warming. Well, yeah, but when you get rain down a lot more in the eastern United States and you get drought a lot more in the western and things are getting worse and worse, and it's been going on year after year after year, you got to start taking notice. This article gave a report from a committee that is investigating the climate. It's a worldwide foundation committee that is trying to discover whether there's global warming, among other things. And it turns out that in 2001, they were completely sure. They were like 65% sure. Now they're over 90% sure. As a matter of fact, they're virtually 100% sure that there is global warming. The only thing they're disagreeing about is sun levels. Well, is it going to be that it wipes out this many people in life forms, or is it going to be that number? That's not a good thing, because it means that we're facing a very bad crisis. How bad? Well, at the very worst, in 100 years, there might only be a couple billion people left in the world. You might say, well, what about population? It's going to grow to be 12 billion in this. Well, it isn't, because the global warming is cutting down our food supply. Many places are turning into desert. And you can't grow things because the plants need water and they need some shelter from the sun and they need shelter from wind, etc. And when things turn to desert, there isn't any of that. There's just, you know, a lot of dust and sand and high winds and very high heat and not much moisture. Well, this is the big problem because about 60% of the world, from this article, or and another one that I read recently, is living in these areas that are going desert because of the global warming, because they were right on the edge to begin with. Well, 60% is a large number of the population, and they will have virtually no way to feed themselves, much less have water as well. So when you look at this, it's a very dangerous thing because these people are right on the edge as it is, and they may be going under. Now, what happens when people are that desperate, and if they're afraid, and they've been propagandized and everything else, they turn to nasty things like war and stealing and aggression to solve their problems, but nobody's going to work with them on it, you see. And that's what we're facing. We're facing the alternative is not just people dying off. It's having mass wars. We're facing really terrible issues. How do we solve this? Well, it's all the old story. We've got to work together, and we have to try to, at this very time, I mean right now, because in 10 years, believe it or not, this article in Scientific American says in 10 years, there's a no return point where no matter what we do, in the 11th year to 12th year from now, it won't change the outcome for over a century, maybe two. Oh, man. That's bad news, because we've got to do something right away, and the things that we need to do right away require cooperation, require inclusiveness, require people to be helping other people to think freely so they can discover for themselves the truth without putting out a bunch of propaganda, but by giving people concepts that are large enough so it expands their minds, but not too big so they can't think high enough to understand them, because that doesn't help either, and there's a whole educational teaching model on a worldwide scale that has to be employed in the next couple of years, or we may all be cooked, literally. So this is a serious problem. And I think, well, it's what I'm going to be one of my messages, by the way, I think that if groups like the, I'm a member of a spiritual group and others, do get together and try to collectively get the world to be more responsive and more free-thinking, we have a chance at solving this problem. But if we don't, we could all be facing a very bleak future. Even if you're 90 years old and you're listening to me right now, you say, well, I'll be dead in 2 years, so who cares? No, you're going to be reborn into this other world that's going to be nasty as heck. Maybe 30, 50 to 50 years from now, you're not going to like it very much. Seriously. See, this is the thing. We're all going to be back. And most of us don't realize that. The good news is a lot of people have children. They're worried about that for their children, their grandchildren, et cetera. It does help people to think of the future. We need to be thinking in a much more realistic and limited right now future rather than just saying, well, we'll fix that in 2030, you know. Yeah, in 2030, you'll fix something that won't be fixed until 2330. And in the meantime, we're all going to be suffering through an incredibly harsh, terrible world where one out of four of us will be alive and the rest of us will be gone. Remember, the growth of life is how God grows. You cut down how much life is on this planet, you're cutting down the amount of God on this planet. And the planet's going to go darker and darker, and things could get really out of hand, and it could just disappear. If evil wins, what it does is it destroys the whole world. Poof, goodbye. Go start all over again. It only took 4.5 billion years, after all. We could do it again, right? Maybe not. Okay, so there's a big investment here. 4.5 billion years to make a planet, that's quite an investment. And it's not just any old planet. It's a planet where we're doing this great experiment. Okay, what other things can we do as far as the inclusive nature of getting us all together to face strifes and problems that are really right on the edge of right now? I mean, these things aren't far off. I know that many people in the past have believed, well, the scientists are yakking again. It's going to be this or that doomsday, and it'll be 50 years from now. It'll be 100 years from now. No. About 100 months from now, it'll be closer to reality. That's what we're talking about. This is really bad news. If you saw the numbers on how much the oceans are going to rise, the centimeters, they gave the numbers, that's a scary thing because a lot of places that people live, they don't have very many centimeters before the ocean is in your backyard, and next thing it's in your living room, and then you're on your roof saying, hey, help me, help me. You know, that's the problem. The oceans rise, not just because everybody thinks it's the glaciers melting. Yeah, that's part of it. There's no question about it. But believe it or not, they rise because the water expands as it gets warmer. It actually grows, you know, just like a lot of the, you know, it's like a cake rising. And it's growing from the heat. The heat gets the molecules bouncing around faster, and they spread out. And so you get more ocean from the same amount of water. Worse than that, we're also adding a lot more water to the ocean at the same time because the ocean has been locked in fresh water in ice is melting. What do you think an iceberg is? An iceberg is the next flood coming to your neighborhood. That's the problem. And we have a lot of ice melting right now in the world. Okay, so how do we deal with that sort of problem? How do we deal with all the problems that we have? Pandemic. Oh, I could go on for hours about pandemic. Well, there are ways to deal with pandemic, but we have to do this collectively. This is a challenge. Either we become more inclusive and work together, or we all perish, or at least most of us do. The majority of people are going to go. It isn't just people, by the way. As much as people die off, even more proportionately of the lower kingdoms of life, such as animals and plants, will die even faster because they don't adapt as well as we do. We can change where we're living. Go tell a squirrel, you got to not live in trees anymore, you know. The trees are all going to die off. You've got to find someplace else. And the squirrel looks at it and goes, oh, nuts. You know, the fact of the matter is you can't make squirrels suddenly change like people, so they're going to become extinct. As a matter of fact, most mammals will be extinct before humans will be. There won't be any mammals. There'll be a lot of insects. I hope you like insects. There'll be a lot of those. For a while, anyway. All right, so what else can we do? What else can we do? I for the last 6 months, I've been promoting, or more, about 7 months now, I've been promoting an idea of a country without borders, so to speak, because it's an internet country. I've been thinking and toying with this idea of starting a country, a real country. I'm not talking about just a, you know, fun kind of play, but a real country that even maybe applies for acceptance to the United Nations. Of course, it doesn't have any land mass. I don't know. I don't think the rules presently would allow that. But, yeah, it could bend the rules for us. What the heck? And a country where people who are free-thinking and who are trying to solve world problems create a country that does exactly that thing. A country which is no longer encumbered by propaganda or by governments that are ineffective and court systems that are clogged up and messy and wrong half the time, a country that uses what it has to help other countries who aren't doing so well to resolve some of the problems they have. And you could become a member of the country by saying, hey, I'm here, I want to be a member, and I'm willing to pay this much in taxes to become a member, sort of on a volunteer basis, not be taxed by an IRS agent or whatever. But no, this would be, this is how much I'm giving because I want my country to do this. And then the people democratically, I mean, this could only be done on the Internet right now, vote online as self-representatives. There's no republic. This is a complete real democracy where people have one person, one vote system. You don't like something? Hey, just vote against it, and that's the way it is, and we'll see how it goes. And we create our own constitution, might be modeled somewhat after some constitutions that are pretty good. I mean, you know, there's, the United States has a great constitution, but, I mean, it doesn't have to be an exact model of the U.S. It could be whatever the people want it to be, provided that it serves the purpose of creating goodness in the world. I even call it the country of good. I don't know if that's a name that would stick. But it's a country that basically would be there for the benefit of all. Especially for the people who are not necessarily members of it, but the people who have needs from it. Something to think about. I'd like to hear more about that and see if there are others who would like to be involved in creating such a thing. Because I'd like to do this collectively. Alone, well, I'm not much of a computer person myself. There are others in the group I serve with that might be able to. But, you know, we like to have a larger group involved in this because, after all, this is, you know, quite an undertaking. So think about it, and that's the kind of things that I think we need to do if we're going to be facing head-on these particular crises that are really going to shake up the whole world. And if we don't do something now, it may be too late just a decade from now. That's scary. A whole 10 years from now, we may be looking back and saying, gee, remember the good old days in 2007? The good old days when gas was only $3 a gallon and you could buy it whenever you wanted it. The good old days when you could go somewhere and expect to get there. The good old days when there was food enough to eat. See, all those things may be problems in the near future. Now, granted, you could say, well, if there's no gas, then won't that reduce the greenhouse effect? Sure. It will. The problem is there also won't be any food. There won't be anything else you get because everything is through a distribution system which requires fossil fuels right now. Do we need to find solutions? You better believe it. We need to find a really good system of making or storing electricity. We can actually produce electricity from solar cells fairly effectively right now and from wave energy and oceans and wind energy quite effectively, if we would build the technology to do it. The real problem is, how do you store it? I mean, you can't really hold on to electrons very efficiently. It takes an awful lot of diesels to make a zillion megawatts of power. So that isn't going to work. We've got to find much more efficient means of storage of electricity, new kinds of batteries and other things, so we can run our cars on it. We can run everything on it. And that's our problem right now. The storage systems are pretty backward. We're still using technology that was invented in 1885. Yeah, lead-acid batteries. That's what most people are using for storage of energy to start a vehicle or even to run them. That's not very good. So there's lots of things that we need to be doing, and we need to be doing them as soon as we possibly can. At any rate, I'm just about out of time here. I'm looking at the clock, and it's saying, uh-oh, it's time to go. So I hope this has given you some thought. I hope it has expanded your thinking, because that is going to go against the propaganda and other issues that evil does. And I hope that you now have a better understanding of what is evil. For next week, and until next week, this is Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.